has learned a little bit more about this rascal named Jacob the last 4 weeks. Doesn't it feel good to maybe take a little part that maybe you heard a little bit of as a Sunday school story and just to kind of press in? That's why the Bible is called the living word. There's more there. And every time we take an adventure through it and something else gets the light shown on it, then it comes alive and there should be something new there for our soul to feed on. And so that's been real, real exciting. Well, the series is called Death to Selfie. This series is about getting past our edited selves that we present to the world. And so, and what this is really all about, as we've looked at Jacob, we've looked at his struggles, we've looked at the cast of characters around him, it's about God changing somebody, is what it's really about. It's about Jacob slowly. Are there some other crockpots in the house? I'm a crockpot. Jesus has got some patience with me. Slowly, he's changing me into who he wants me to look like. And what's crazy is he wants me to look like him. That's the bar. That's how good he is. He just doesn't have a second tier and a third tier and a tenth tier for some of us. He looks at all of us and says, I want to bring Jesus out of you. Well, we've gotten to know Jacob. He's crazy, just like us. He's surrounded by crazy people, just like we are. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, yep. The Bible is full of stories of people just like us because you do not have to be perfect to participate in God's will. He loves taking rascals like Jacob. He loves taking jerks like Adam, me. He loves taking messes like you. And then he says, hang on, baby, here we go. We're going to do something together. So we are looking for ourselves in the stories of Jacob. Week one, we saw Jacob wrestling his way through life to get ahead. He was never satisfied until he accepted his own identity in God. Week two, we saw Jacob's brother Esau give up his birthright for a bowl of bean soup. That's a fun message to listen to. Go back to Podbean and listen to that. We are all like Esau. We choose to satisfy our immediate desires instead of trusting in God's provision. Week three, we went with Jacob back to Bethel. Bethel was where God showed up in the middle of nowhere. Bethel makes us realize that what we really need most, and this is a point of maturity that hopefully comes to every believer in this room, is the moment you really start to understand that what we really need most is God's presence. Immaturity is chasing everything else. And then at some point, the light comes on and you realize, I just need more of him. That's really all I need. Last week, we looked at the sister wives. We had some fun while looking at Rachel and Leah. And we saw ourselves in the frustration of Leah's rejection and the frustration of Rachel as she couldn't bear children. And we saw ourselves in the rejection that Leah felt as she was consistently behind her younger sister in the eyes of her husband. We need to look for acceptance and success in God alone. Why? Because, as we came to the end of last week's message, God uses it all. He uses your mistakes. He uses your failures. He uses your hurts. He uses your successes. He uses your life with all of the ups and downs, lefts, rights, and whatever else way you go. He will use it for his glory if we trust him with it. God uses it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly stuff in our lives for his purposes and glory, which brings us to today. The title of today's message is Call It What You Want. Now, I don't mean you can call it what you want. You can't just pick out a name for my message. That'd be rude. But what I'm telling you is that the name of today's message is Call It What You Want. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Here we go. Genesis 35 in your Bibles, chapter 35 of Genesis, page 39 in the books that are in the Bibles in the seats next to you that says the book on it. It's the Bible. Genesis 35, 16 through 18. We're reading from the New Living Translation. If I'm reading along and you're reading your Bible and you wonder what language I'm speaking, it's just a modern translation that has a lot of researchers have gone worked on, and it's just a great way to hear the Word of God in modern English. Verse 16, leaving Bethel, Jacob and his clan moved on toward Ephrath. But Rachel went into labor while they were still some distance away. Her labor pains were intense. Ladies, say amen. After a very hard delivery, the midwife finally exclaimed, "Don't be afraid, you have another son." Rachel was about to die, but with her last breath, she named the baby Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. The baby's father, however, called him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Call it what you want. So Jacob is heading back home. He's been away for over 20 years. There's been a lot of drama while he lived with Uncle Laban. We remember why he ran away, right? He had stolen his the blessing, birthright. He had basically stolen his brother blind and just taken advantage of everybody back at home. His mom said one word of advice, which was, what was it? Run. Big brother, a little bit older by 1 minute, but a lot bigger, a lot stronger, a lot hairier. The Wookiee is going to kill you. Run. Those that get that know the greatest movies of all time. Moving on. There's been a lot of drama while he's been away living with Uncle Laban, but he's also been blessed. Notice it says in those verses that he was with his clan. What did he have when he left home? Nothing. Nobody. Used a rock for a pillow, right? Now he's got a clan with him. Remember how he played dirty to get ahead growing up? And he ended up with nothing. Well, he's worked hard for 20 years now, and he's wealthy. So wealthy that it became awkward with Laban, and he had to leave. It was time to go home and make things right with Esau. It says that they get past Bethel, and Rachel goes into labor. There was probably excitement throughout the camp, but then she begins to have great difficulty in labor. And the scripture says that this would be the end of Rachel's life. And it says, as she breathes her last breath, here's her newborn son, and she looks at him and said, "This is Benoni, which means son of my sorrow." She is naming him out of her pain, which I'll just tell you seems real fair, all things considering the story. I'm not here to criticize Rachel and how she named her son. Now, we've spent some time with this guy named Jacob, and we've seen how he caused most of his own problems, right? But my heart breaks for Jacob in this part of the story. It's easy to look at him through all the rest of it and just be like, this guy's a rascal. He's a punk. He's dirty. He does whatever it takes. He's shifty. But how am I supposed to feel for someone who's just lost the love of their life? My heart's broken for Jacob in this part of the story. And at the exact moment, he's looking into the eyes of a newborn son. What a contradiction. And Jacob has a choice to make. I could only imagine how conflicted he was. He could have easily gone along with Rachel's choice of names, right? He would have been feeling pretty sorrowful himself. Even just to honor his dying wife's wishes, name him Benoni. But he deliberately changes his son's name to Benjamin and removes the negativity surrounding his name. Jacob declares, "I will not let my son be called son of my sorrow. I refuse to look at him as a curse." Do you see how easy it would be to blame the child, Right? That's what we do when we're hurt. We look at the closest cause and we say, we got to pour our anger, we got to pour our pain into something. This could have been the most despised son, right? Jacob declares, I will not call my son a curse. Call it what you want. In ancient culture, the father had the final say in naming children. Got to bring that one back because some of these names out there, I think we just need like a board of reasonably smart people. I'm not asking for too much, but the names are out of control out there, right? Come on, some of y'all hear a baby's name and you just want to laugh inside. I mean, it's like, is that for real, right? I mean, there's other choices, you know? Anyways, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. The father had the final say. Jacob vetoes Benoni and says his name will be Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. I'm a little fond of this because my son is Benjamin. And so this is a great story. And maybe I just need to call him Benoni when I'm mad at him. I don't know. Or when he's made his mother cry. But see, the right hand is a place of honor. And it's also the hand of blessing. So in this culture, when it was time to receive a blessing from someone, or like a son from a father, it would have been the right hand that would have been placed on the forehead, right? The right hand is a symbol of honor. And then even the disciples talk about this, and they're fighting for first place later on with Jesus. They say, who's going to sit at your right hand, right? So this has always been considered a place of honor. And so in this moment of grief, Jacob looks at this newborn boy who had nothing to do with the pain and the death. And he says, you're the son of my right hand. Does this mean his heart wasn't filled with grief from losing Rachel? I think this is where we tend to feel guilty if we celebrate anything else in a time of sorrow, right? Of course not. He wasn't ignoring the pain of the moment. He was just making sure that it didn't keep a hold of his future. That's worth saying again. He wasn't ignoring the pain of the moment. He was just making sure that it didn't lock down his future. And Benjamin's. Right? Sometimes when we hang on to pain, when we hang on to hurt, we're bottling some other people up along the same time, right? Little Ben had nothing to do with this. But his dad could have taken him on a journey of misery through the rest of his life. Just by looking at him, right? Boy, I don't know what to say to you. I don't have my wife because of you. I mean, he could have dragged this thing through the mud. And how about Benjamin growing up? Our names usually mean something. I made my point about some of the names earlier that I don't know what they mean. But names mean something. You know, we've got some family names in our family. Typically the oldest girl, we've tended to have the name May for the middle name. I've got a tradition of that. My middle name is Scott, which I'm named after my grandfather. And Benjamin has the same middle name. Now, my pastor growing up, he thought it was in honor of him, and he's just a little delusional. But even my son's first name is kind of a tribute to my best friend. And so, but our names tend to even mean something. And in cultures, they were really thoughtful of the name given to somebody. And so even son of my sorrow reflected the moment, and Jacob captured the moment. So our names tend to mean something. Have you ever looked at what your name means? Well, Danielle comes from Daniel. That's not worth making fun of, by the way. She's over it. But it goes back to God is my judge. Now, I've made fun of my name before because my name means made from earth. My name means dirt man. Okay? So you can just call me dirt man. Now, Adam sounds nice. Dirt man, not so much. But can you imagine poor little Benoni growing up? Why are you named Benoni? Well, right? We pass on these things, right? But how cool to say, Benjamin. Here he is, the 12th son. And his dad says, you're my boy. How cool is that? Seriously, there is big stuff at stake here. In life, if life has labeled you in some way outside of God's word, you need to take the label off, because the only one who gets to name you is the one who made you. And so we pick up these labels in life, and sometimes it's because somebody has said it out of pain, or somebody has said it out of an insecurity, or somebody has said it out of jealousy, or somebody has said it just to be flat out mean. Or many times somebody says it without even thinking about what they're saying. And yet this label gets attached to you, and you claim it. And you say, this is who I am. It must be true. You need to take the label off, because the only one who gets to name you is the one who made you. There are even situations in your life that you need to rename, and there will be a blessing in it when you do. Jacob could have focused on the curse, but instead he focused on the blessing. Because of God's grace and power, I can call whatever I'm looking at right now a blessing. This isn't easy stuff. And this isn't about ignoring the reality of the moment. It's about my perspective. In Genesis, Adam didn't get to create the animals, but he had naming rights. God said, here they come. They're going to walk in front of you, and you got to go, I think. How much fun would that have been? Who knows what they would have been called? I mean, if you look at all the Pokemon names today, that's probably what I would have come up with, okay? I'd been like, that's a Jigglypuff, that's a whatever, whatever. You're a Charlemander, you know, whatever. I'm making stuff up. But Adam gets to name everything. God says, call it what you want. Whatever you call it, that becomes its name. You can live in regret and call it like it is, but wouldn't it be better if you called it what you want? Today, don't let your situations determine your destiny. If you call it what it is, then it will always be what it is. But if you call it what God calls it, it can become something brand new. You have two choices. Call it what it is, or call it what you want. You have naming rights. The situation might not change, but you've given it a new name. And sometimes we start with Benoni before we get to Benjamin. What am I talking about? Well, if someone's hurt you, I think you should call it what it is. I think you should deal with it in the moment. But then something needs to happen. Because if you stay there, very profoundly, you're just going to stay there. But we have this choice of looking past something and to see what God wants to do through it. And in that process, we can look to what He is trying to do in our lives, and we rename it. This isn't about rose-colored glasses and ignoring reality. It's actually the opposite. Because the reality is, let's say I have something painful that I'm dealing with in my life right now. That is real. But what is also just as real is that I have the living God taking care of me. And so it's not a matter of rose-colored glasses to pretend that what I'm going through isn't a big deal. What is true is to remember that He's a big deal. Do you see the difference? This isn't about becoming numb to reality and staying so spiritually minded you're no earthly good and just, shut up. We don't need people like that. But what we do need is people that look at the pain and the hurt in their lives and the pain and hurt in other people's lives and say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why, but I know that God is big enough to carry you. And not only is he is. Call it what you want. It takes no faith to call it what you think it is. It's time to change some name tags in our lives. There are some things you're going through right now that are sorrowful, but a bad situation doesn't have to define you. Let's keep reading in Genesis 35, 19 to 21. It says, so Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set up a stone monument over Rachel's grave. The Bible says it can be seen here to this day. Verse 21. Then Jacob traveled on and camped beyond Migdalader. Verse 21. Then Jacob traveled on to Migdalader. Did you catch that? Jacob traveled on. Wow. Jacob moved forward with great loss and a broken heart. He moved on without the one he loved, but he still moved on. You feel the weight of that? It's just as heavy, it's just as serious, it's just as sad. But he still had to keep going. Well, today we kind of got back into the habit that we've tried to from the beginning here, and that's to wear some name tags. It helps me out, I know it helps you out, and it helps people that are coming in that are brand new out. And so it's really, this church, if you want to know maybe a sub-slogan for it, it's not about you, okay? This church is about welcoming people home to God, his family, and his purpose. And so part of everything we do is for somebody that's walking in for the first time, okay? That's what these are about. And it helps pastors who are trying to keep track of 100 people. We have these name tags. They help us connect with each other. The problem is we pick up lots of these in life. How many of these things do you think you've put on in life? If you're still a kid, just wait, because every stupid business meeting you'll go to, they make you wear them. And every mean pastor. The problem is we pick up lots of these in life, and many of them are damaging. I wonder if anybody's picked up this one. Dumb. Ugly. Useless. How about that one? Failure. What about this one? Unlovable. Guess which one we're all born with? Sinner. Some of them may be true. I wore this guy for a while. You'll laugh now because I tend to work like a maniac. It says, hello, my name is Underachiever. My parents are laughing. You wonder why I picked it up so easy. It was true. But this is what every teacher told me for 13 years. It was true. But something happened around my senior year actually, it was a little bit earlier than that. I'd say even 10th grade, 11th grade. I was going to a youth group, and I had a youth pastor that I loved. His name is Jeff Harper. And he knew I was one, too. But there was something in the way that he began to call out the gifts in me. And he began to give me things to do. And he began to ask me to preach and to teach and to lead other young people. And to start to speak to things that were deep inside of me. And he began to help me change my name. Maybe your name is Addict. Jerk. Had that one too. I still wear it on occasion. Gossip. God says today to call it what you want by calling it what he wants. Death to selfie is really about allowing God to rename us. And what happens in the story of Jacob? He gets a new name. Jacob meant deceiver, one that grabs the heel. He was born fighting for first place. And he would lie and trick and fight his way to get whatever he wanted from the moment he came out. And through life, through pain, through being tricked by somebody else, he finally came to terms that his identity rested in God alone. And God says, you're ready for your new name. I'm going to name you Jacob because you've wrestled with men and God. Wait for it. And you've won. That's what this is about. That's what death to selfie is about. It's about taking this image that we have of ourselves. And a lot of us don't even see ourselves very well, but we still have this image that we fashion and form and portray to everybody around us. And God says, let me in. Let me do it. Let me change your heart. Let me rename your situation. Let me rename your pain. Let me rename you. Can we pray this morning? As I said before, the family church primary purpose for existence is to welcome people home to God. If you've never known God in a personal way, if you've never trusted him to lead your life, to provide for you, to heal you, to forgive you for all that you've done wrong, if you've never done that and you are ready to today, then I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. It's about saying yes to God. It's about saying no to everything you've tried to do on your own. Is that you today? Would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. I see that hand. God bless you. A simple prayer goes like this. God, I've been running. I've been trying to get ahead on my own. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against others. I thank you that you would forgive me today. Father God, I choose to give you my heart so that you would love me and lead me for the rest of my days. With that prayer, the Bible says you've become the beginning of a new creation. It says that the old is gone and the new has come. It says that the name tag that was there before that says sinner, that says orphan, that says rejected, all of a sudden there's a new one there that says loved, son, daughter. Maybe you're like me in this room and you've picked up some name tags. That aren't from the heart of God. You know what they are. Are you ready to call it what you want today? Are you ready to listen to what Father God says about you instead of the lie that you've walked in and believed in to this point? Are you ready to have a glimpse of hope that God can take something ugly and make it something beautiful? If that's you today and you want to rename some things in your life, then I want you to raise your hand. I want to see hands all over this place. God is doing stuff here. I see those hands. I see those hands. Father, God would tell you today that you're precious. That when you come before His throne, when you kneel at that cross, and when you accept the payment that the blood of His Son has made for you, then all He can look at you after you've been washed over with that sacrifice, all He can see at this point is His Son trying to come out of you. And if you will press into Him, if you will lean into Him, if you will trust Him, if you will follow Him, if you will obey Him, He will take you step by step closer to His Son that He sees inside each of us. It is the most amazing thing. Yes, we're getting a new body at heaven someday, but God says, I can give you a new heart right now. That's what we believe in here. So with open hands, can we begin to stand up around the room? We're going to worship. We're going to do communion together. But just right now, just for a moment, just begin to, just like I just did, I just picture the name tag just coming off and say, Father God, I need to know your truth about me. On the night before Jesus gave His life for us, He was with His closest friends, His disciples, the ones that had left everything to follow Him, and He held up a loaf of bread and He broke it. And He said, this is my body, broken for you. After that, He held up a cup, would have been of wine then, we have grape juice today. And He said, this is my blood. Now that weirded some people out. Let me explain it. The God that rules over everything, the one that we've sung to today and learned about today, He's a holy God. He's pure. There is only good in Him. Anything evil, it just can't even stay in His sight. We would not be able to stand in His presence without the blood of Jesus shed for us. This is how God renamed us. And He said, drink this and remember me. So this morning, as we're worshiping, as we're celebrating what God did to claim us, to tear all the name tags off of us and to put new ones on, the ones that come from His word, the ones that come from His heart, the ones that He sees deep inside of our soul. This is what we're celebrating today at communion. And so you'll just come forward as we're singing and come up together as families. You can grab your kids. It's awesome. And come up together and you just take a piece of bread. It's called intention. It just means you dip it into a little bit of the way into the juice and then you eat it right away. And when you do, remember that Jesus has renamed you. Amen. Let's worship. To the cross side.